I came from a home with 10 children. I was born right in the middle of all 10 of the children. My father immediately realized that I was not his. And so from inside the womb, I felt rejection immediately. Our home was a home that was extremely poor. They locked my father up in mental institutions, and he would come home and he would beat the children. I was the one who got the worst beating because he was aware of the fact that I was not his child. We were so hungry, ladies and gentlemen, that I used to go in garbage dumps and garbage cans and eat out of them because there wasn't enough food on the table. During the weekends, there was such brawls and fights because my parents were alcoholics that I remember at 5 years old washing blood off the walls. They'd take my dad off into the mental institution. He'd come home again. So all I knew was spiritualism, which my mother was very involved in. My dad's hate toward me. Remember one day I was a little girl and I made him a present for Father's Day because I didn't understand why he didn't like me. So I made him a little present. I was the only one who made him anything. And I took it to him, and I'll never forget it. I handed it to him, and I thought as a little girl at 7 years old, surely this present is going to make him love me because I had dealt with such terrible rejection. And I remember walking up and saying, Daddy, Happy Father's Day. And I made this little present I put together with stuff out of garbage cans. And he looked at it, and he said to me, this is stupid, and you're stupid. From that time, I didn't believe that God could possibly be a father. God's a father. Fathers beat you. Fathers molest you. Fathers hurt you. Fathers go to mental institutions. So I decided that I was going to find two things in life. The first thing I was going to find is love. The second thing was power. When I was just barely out of my teens, I became pregnant with my first child. When my mother found out I was pregnant, Dad was in the mental institution, she bodily removed me from the house. I was glad to get out. By the time my daughter was born and approximately 9 months old, the state of New York had taken her away. I never hurt her. I never did any harm. I changed her. I washed her. I just didn't know how to love her because I had never been loved. I didn't know what it meant to love or to receive love. So when they took her away, I was glad because now I was going to live my life my way. In the course of that time, I had an abortion. I'll never forget the day that I called my mother and I said, I'm pregnant. And she said, I'll send a woman to your house. She's a retired nurse. She'll give you an illegal abortion. The woman came and gave me an illegal abortion. I'll never forget, right then and there, something happened inside of me. After they took my child away, I went on a rampage of alcoholism and drug addiction. I ended up in New York City. While I was there, I contracted hepatitis B. That is a viral infection of the liver brought on by filthy needles. I'd been beaten in New York, sold to an ice cream man, walking the streets, locked up, let out. I landed up pregnant again, and when I became pregnant this time, my mother said, when I see you, I'm going to kill you. So I said, don't bother. And I threw myself down 30 concrete steps in a suicide attempt to take the imposition out of my body. Folks, you know, you might hear this and say, gee, that's terrible. It's going on in your world right now. Our children are exposed to this. Our families are exposed to this. Let me move on quickly. After that, I decided, well, maybe if I get married, it'll get better. I'll get married and then everything will be all right. So I got married. We were shooting heroin and meth and everything I could get in my arm. And one day, a young woman said to me, you know what you need? You need power. Well, I was looking for that. She said, you need power in witchcraft. I began to study witchcraft. I learned how to do incantations and spells and bloodletting. Now, I wasn't into black magic, and I didn't go to black masses. I was a renegade witch. But I studied. I mean, I gave everything to learning about witchcraft. I studied with everything in me. I could astral project. I remember soul transmission, moving from one place to another, demonic activity. I used to meditate into a low state of meditation, alpha state, and invite spirits to live inside of me because I believed they were departed spirits of loved ones and they were going to do a good job inside of me. Found out later they were nothing more than demons. I began to scratch my physical body, do harm to myself, because the spirits that gave me the power in psychic behavior that helped me to astral project, to know the past, present, and future through familiar spirits, to do incantations and spells, they turn on you. They get you right where they want you, and then they pull the legs out from under you. Here I was shooting heroin and married. We were beating each other up, tearing the place apart, and I became pregnant again. This time I went to my husband. I said, I want this baby. He said, I ain't having no kids. When I get home from work, get something to get high on and get rid of that baby. I'll never forget the day in the abortion clinic, standing in a mirror, holding my stomach and saying, baby, I love you, but nobody else does, so you have to die. I love you, but nobody else does, so you have to die. After that abortion, I went completely crazy. I began to shoot up. The worst junkies in the city wouldn't stay in the same room with me, in and out of nut houses. The marriage fell apart. We were beating each other, tearing at each other, fighting for drugs, ODing. My father, by this time, had died in a mental state, just absolutely crazy. I was afraid I'd go crazy, too. And one day, a phone call came. It was a doctor. He said, Carol has hepatitis B. Her liver is turning into a piece of leather. As I speak to you, she's in cirrhosis stage. She's mentally ill. There's no talking to her. As a matter of fact, I'm sending you a registered letter. Don't bring her in this office ever again. She's crazy. So when I got the death sentence, when they said to me, you're dying, I thought, you know what? Don't worry about it. So I'd walk around with guns in my mouth. I'd take cars, ladies and gentlemen, this is the truth. I'd run them into walls. I'd drive them into Lake Erie. I'd deliberately hit telephone poles. I'd fall asleep at the wheel. I was digging in my arm with needles, screaming, cutting myself, chanting demonic powers. You know, we think demons are just on Friday night on the scary movies. They didn't go away when Jesus left. They're here, and they're out to kill, steal, and destroy. And in all of this, somebody one day saw me standing in a bar, who saw past my faults to my needs, came up and she said, I know a man who doesn't stick needles in your arm, perform abortions on your body, or use you for 15 minutes. If I can introduce you, Carol Kornacki, to a man named Jesus, it'll change your life forever. If she was here today, she'd tell you, she would go before the Lord, and she said there were no words, just the Holy Ghost moving through her with groanings too deep for words, for one soul. She invited me to a church service. She said, there's a young minister come. If you just come, you can wear anything you want, which was a bad idea to tell me the way I dress. And so I came and I sat to the side and a gentleman came out and he was walking back and forth on the platform and he was saying, the Holy Ghost is here. So I was sitting there thinking, cool, another ghost? I got 11. I'll get another one. I'm in the right place. That was good to bring me here, Linda. But he began to speak of the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And then he began to talk about the blood. And when he started talking about the blood, the demons inside of me that I had invited to live in me began to go crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, I can only describe it as taking the back of my head and holding me while the pastor was on the platform, while Benny Hinn was preaching the gospel and talking about the blood and telling the people to get up and sing about the blood. These demons were going nuts. So they paralyzed me. They pulled my head back and just held it like that. And I couldn't move. Finally, pastor said, if you have sickness in your body, you need to come forward. We'll pray for you. I took the longest walk of my life. Got up out of the seat. And the demons pushed me back down again. I got up, they pushed me back down again. And when I finally, Linda looked over, and greater is he that is in her than he that is in the world. And as those spirits tormented me and screamed, get out of here. You don't want to be here. Linda reached over, and the power of the Holy Spirit inside her. She'd received the baptism. baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that was just surging through her. And she reached over and touched my forearm. And for a brief moment, my will was in place to make a decision. I could sit there or I could go on the platform and talk to that man who was talking about Jesus. When I came up down the aisle toward the platform, Pastor Benny saw me and he looked over and he said, "Stop the music. Stop everything. Bring her here." Demons coming out of me. Marks all over my arms, black under my eyes, yellow from jaundice, skinny and gaunt, blood choking me in my stomach. They said if she continues those ulcers to bleed, she'll drown in her own blood. And I came up and he said, "Bring her here, bring her here." And when I came up on the platform, I faced the man. I had 11 demons. I had 11 strong devils. I could not withstand the one spirit in that man, the Holy Ghost. As much as I tried, I could not overcome the presence of the Holy Ghost inside that man. Oh, come on, church. Jesus, who said, "I'll pray the Father and he'll send the Holy Ghost." We stood facing each other. I'll never forget it. He looked in my eyes. He said to me, "You could tell by looking at me. I look so despicable. My blouse was open." He said to me, what's wrong with your body? What's the condition? What's wrong with you?" And I looked at him. I said to him, "I got chronic active hepatitis." And he said, "What is that?" And I said, "I'm dying." And he said, "Do you believe that Jesus can heal you?" I looked out at thousands upon thousands. The place was mobbed of people. And I thought, "Jesus, heal me. Jesus is dead, man." And I'll never forget it, folks. He looked out and he said to those thousands of people in Pastor Reed's church, people were all in the overflow. He said, "Church, pray." And thousands of people, all you heard was Jesus, 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 Jesus. I watched grown men cry for a demon-possessed, dying, street-walking, heroin-addicted tramp. Thousands of people joined. It was like a symphony. Jesus. I watched little kids that were trained up in the way that they should go lift their little hands and begin to pray. I watched teenagers that aren't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ stand up and say, "Save her, Lord, save her." I stood there looking at all this, and suddenly the man of God turned around as if there was no one there, as if it was just him and Jesus. And I'll never forget this, and I've preached it all over the nation, all over television. All I heard him say was, "Jesus, oh Jesus, heal her." And the power of God came down through the top of Pastor Reed's church. Folks, it was like short-circuiting me. I mean, it went through my body. Every part of my body began to just I lost all control. And I felt myself hitting the floor without any damage. And I heard the man of God say, "Don't touch her. God is doing something here." I laid on the floor, ladies and gentlemen. And it seemed like 10, 15 minutes. It was probably 38, 40 seconds. There wasn't a sound in the room. Just a little girl whose body had been molested. Just a little girl who wanted her daddy to say, "I love you," and quit hitting me. Just a little girl who didn't want her mother to leave her marks all over my face every time she came near me. Just a little girl who wanted somebody to love me more than 15 minutes. Just a little rejected girl who wanted to know what it was like to be loved. As I laid on the floor of the platform, I didn't see him, but it was as if Jesus came walking in the room. And when Jesus is in the house, something's going to happen. It was this Jesus came walking into the room, and I felt as if he looked down at me. And he said, "My name is Jesus Christ. And if you're looking for love, you found it. I love you just the way that you are. When I got up off the floor, I was walking off the platform, and for a minute, Pastor Benny's attention, he was now working with other people, praying for other bodies that were disabled and broken. And he stopped and he said, "Young lady!" And I looked over my shoulder and he said, "You will never be the same." And I have never been the same. Delivered from demons. I got a medical report of hepatitis B. God, pending bleeding ulcers. God, as long as there's a breath in me, I'm going to preach this gospel. I'm going to tell people his name is Jesus. And he